Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is facing death, personal evolution, and writing bestsellers fast. My guest is Ben Joya, international best-selling author, podcast and radio host, and book coach from Valencia in Spain. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you so much, Mariette. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
And I'm so pleased to have you. To our listeners, thanks for joining us. And after our conversation, it will be fun question time. Ben, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, Mariette, thank you so much. That's always a funny question because I want to say everything at once.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to report that I'm living in Valencia, Spain, which is a many year, maybe many decade dream of my life. So I've been there for 8 months, and just really have had the honor and privilege to make my dreams come true. And you know, it's really come from having the opportunity to write and publish my own books, which was such a game changer in my business, and also to have the opportunity to help more and more people around the world. So it's just really a pleasure to be able to do the work that I do to help people, and you know, to understand that dreams can come true, you know, when we take a shot and I think keep service first and foremost in everything that we're doing.
Yeah, and I can't resist mentioning that in 2003, you spent 2 months in Cape Town, in my home country. Just say a few things about that, how you experienced that.
Oh my God. So Cape Town is one of my favorite places in the world. I love South Africa. It was a beautiful, magical time to be there. I was so impressed with the beauty of the people, how friendly and welcoming everyone was, and Table Mountain, of course, the art, the music. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And I just remember that certainly South Africa, like many parts of the world, has had its history of, you know, extreme difficulty. And everywhere I went in South Africa, I was warmly welcomed by everyone, regardless of the color of their skin or my skin. And it was really just such a sweet, sweet experience for me, and really just had such a deep impact on my life.
I'm so glad, Ben. And I think we're going to have a theme running through our conversation today, and that is of experiencing difficulties, but then of joy and warmth.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. You've mentioned your work. And career-wise, I know you've reached some big milestones with your Influence with a Heart method at the center of all this. Please fill us in.
Thank you. Yeah, I became an entrepreneur, I think it's 17 years ago. And almost at the beginning of the process, I realized, or I knew always, that I wanted to serve people and make a difference. And I could see the possibility of business being a tremendous engineer for global change, potentially more than certain governments and NGOs and other people trying to make help. And I'm not criticizing NGOs for sure, but you know, when you have profit in the mix, it can certainly move things forward for good or not so good. And I thought there's ways to do it for good. So I brought service into the mix. Started my business called Marketing with a Heart, and kind of what it sounds like, being ethical and being of service as you are inviting people to say yes to you so you could change their lives. And as my business developed, I made the switch over to Influence because I saw a lot more opportunity for impact, because influence applies to leadership, to communication, to team building, to so many things in the business world. And when I made that switch to influence as the operating principle, and influence with integrity, first and foremost, that's when everything started changing for me.
Yeah, we'll speak about more particulars of what you do a little later. First, I'd like to go to another tack, and that is that you've had some arresting experiences, but what I find even more compelling is how these experiences in your life have contributed to your personal evolution. Now I'm going to quote from one blog you wrote, 4 times in 3 days, that's how many times I faced death on a hike in southern India. This is what you wrote. Could you tell us what your life was like before that experience?
Thank you so much for that question. So my life was as we say, at least in the States, it was a hot mess. I don't know if you use that expression as well, but
no,
I had...
No, but it's very apt.
Okay. Thank you. I had spent a good decade and a half just doing way too many drugs and going to way too many parties, but never realizing how much of a problem it was because I was successful in my business when I had a job. I used to work in magazines back in the day, and I went to India at the tail end of this experience of many, many drugs, and I went on a hike, a guided hike for a couple of days in the mountains in southern India, and had the experience of first running from a wildfire, and then, I should say first, before we even got to the hike, our bus almost going off a cliff at about 6,000 feet up, and then running from a wildfire, then encountering a poisonous snake, and then wrapping it up with encountering a mountain lion that fortunately ran in the other direction. And it took me certainly a minute, maybe more than a minute, to process that whole experience. But I came back from India with such a gratitude for life, you know, really understanding more so than ever what a gift this life can be when we take advantage, take the opportunity, and make it not about ourselves, right? That we keep service first and foremost, and that bridged into just galvanizing my purpose more so than ever. And I knew from that point that no matter what I was doing, no matter what for work, no matter what for how I was comporting myself and just walking around on the earth, that I always wanted to be in service, even in just the example I was setting for people.
Yeah. In the blog I mentioned earlier, you also wrote that 2 years later, you were back in India for your second hike and still looking for happiness. Could you elaborate a little on that?
Certainly. Thank you. So clearly I'm a glutton for punishment, or at least was in the past. And even though I had that first wonderful transformative experience in India, that first time, I returned to the U.S. and was still doing too many drugs for about 2 years more, or just under 2 years. And I hit what some people call rock bottom, or my lowest point, or whatever that is. And I remember just looking up at the sky at one point saying, I just want to be free. And a couple of days later, the thought entered my mind of, oh, you should go back to India. So I went back to India and had another deeply transformational experience on a 9-day hike through the Himalayas, where basically because of showing up to India without good hiking boots, I ended up getting my boots fixed, which led to good hiking boots, except for the blisters that they caused on my Achilles tendons. So I ended up hiking for 9 days through the Himalayas with blisters on my Achilles tendons, 6 to 8 hours a day. Every other day, we're going over a 16,000 foot high pass, but two tremendous, tremendous gifts from that incredibly, incredibly painful experience. Number one was that I realized for the first time in my life the power of being in the present moment. Because before that, I had never had meditation practice. I didn't really understand what that meant to be in the present moment. But every single painful step kept me in the present moment day after day after day. And I realized that when I looked at the beauty and the majesty of these incredible mountains around me. So that was lesson number one. And lesson number two, I figured out 12 years later, because sometimes it takes a minute, but I really understood for the first time in my life the difference between pain and suffering, right? Pain is part of our human experience, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, psychic, however you want to say it. And that's just par for the course through our lifetimes. But the suffering is optional. The suffering is all that stuff we add, the worry, the anxiety, the regret, the fear for the future, the self-judgment, the shame, all those kinds of things. And the more we are aware of that and the more we are kind to ourselves, the more we can actually eliminate suffering. And that's really the biggest thing in subsequent years that I discovered from the teachings of the Buddha and why I believe he's such an absolute game changer for humanity.
I'd like to take you up on meditation because you mentioned that just now. And on LinkedIn, you describe yourself, amongst other things, as a meditator. When did you begin meditating?
It was actually on that second trip to India. So after the whole crazy hike experience and the blisters, I found my way to an area in India called McLeod Ganj. And McLeod Ganj and Dharamsala are where the Tibetan government in exile is, because India was the only country that welcomed Tibetans in as the Chinese were invading Tibet. I think in the 1960s. So Tibet established their government, you know, their government in exile in Dharamsala, and then McLeod Ganj, which is just a little bit up the mountain in the Himalayas, is where the Dalai Lama lives. So while I was in McLeod Ganj, I had the benefit and the gift of seeing the Dalai Lama a few times and found my way to my first meditation retreat, which was a complete game changer. It was the hardest thing I had ever done in my life, arguably harder than the hike with the blisters. But it was the biggest gift that I've probably received ever. And it's something that I recommend to every person, no matter what, you know, even if you can only do a minute a day, start meditating today.
You say it was the hardest thing you ever did, Ben. How do you approach your meditation practice? Are there any insights you can offer, since it can be very hard?
Yes, thank you. So this one took 14 years to figure out. but one of the biggest things you can do in your meditation is to smile. Right? Just a very gentle smile to help lighten your mind. And the other biggest thing you can do is just keep letting your body relax. So breathe and smile and relax and breathe and smile and relax. Relax on the in-breath, relax on the out-breath. Keep smiling. And if you want to turn up the volume a little bit, just connect to that feeling in your heart, that feeling of love in your heart, even if you want to just put your hand on your chest and give yourself the gift of that love, of that kindness, and then give anyone around you or even the whole world the gift of that love and kindness as well. Meditation should be fun and easy and relaxing and not difficult and not deep concentration. And so many people really miss the mark around that. And it's the relaxing and the smiling that will change everything in the experience.
Yes, I'd like to add that I attended an online seminar, I don't know if it's 2 or 3 years back, and you talked about this little Buddha smile, and it has stayed with me. And yeah, and it really is something that I think of so often, because when I remember, then I find that my face is stressed, and then that little smile makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Ben, which benefits can regular meditation yield?
Oh my goodness, so many. So less stress, more ease, innovative thinking, deeper insight, into one's experience. It makes difficult conversations easier to navigate. It helps you process grief more easily. And when I talk about things like processing grief more easily, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get rid of the grief or get rid of the stress, but it helps to soften the grief or the stress, right? To change your relationship, you know, with any of those difficulties, because when we stop pushing against the things that are uncomfortable and stop getting involved in the stories around them, it's easier for us to let them go or to release them. And the next time they come back to us, they might be a little bit softer, a little bit easier to deal with. And then there's all sorts of data on the physical, physiological benefits of meditation for brain health, for physical health, for heart health. I mean, the list seems to go on and on and on. And I just think it's really if somebody asked me what's the one thing that could turn the whole world around if everybody did, I would certainly say meditation.
Thank you, Ben. And then you also like to emphasize the importance of forgiveness. What does forgiveness constitute in your view?
Thank you. So this is also something that I learned later in my meditation experience from a teacher that I worked with. After my first 14 years of meditation, I had to find my way to the right teacher, the right practice for me. And, you know, what I'd recommend to everyone, which is that smiling, relaxing. But this teacher also taught me a new way or a different way to think about forgiveness, because a lot of people have resistance to forgiveness. Oh, I can never forgive that person for the terrible thing they did or the terrible thing they said, or I can never forgive myself for the terrible thing I did or said, right? But the way I learned from this wonderful teacher was that you forgive yourself or you forgive the other person for not understanding, right? I forgive you for not understanding. I forgive myself for not understanding. And it's the forgiveness of the not understanding that's really, really critical, because if somebody did something that's unforgivable, you know, that still might be a true experience. But if you can forgive them for not understanding, right, whether they didn't understand the situation, what you needed at that time, if they didn't understand, you know, how dangerous or terrible the thing that they were choosing to do, whatever it is, there's so much power in that form of forgiveness, forgiving ourselves for not understanding, forgiving the other person for not understanding. And when we practice forgiveness, and I use the word practice intentionally, as we practice forgiveness, we actually free ourselves and we provide the deepest healing for ourselves, right? Forgiveness is for ourselves first and foremost before it's for anyone else.
That is very powerful, I think, forgiving oneself for or someone else for not understanding.
It is really something.
And then what I find very interesting, Ben, is that your spirituality and specifically meditation is not separate from the work you do. Can you tell us which role it plays in the work you do?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for that question. So I mentioned before, I believe, an entrepreneur for about 17 years. And in my experience, being an entrepreneur is like a spiritual journey unto itself. So much difficulty, so much challenge, so much beauty and opportunity, so much transformation. But to be able to ride the waves of the up and down of the entrepreneurial experience, meditation, from my own history and what I teach to my clients, is such a game changer, right? Just because things are going to come up invariably almost every day in our business, as we're growing our business, as we're serving our clients, as we're creating partnerships, as we're navigating sometimes difficult, unexpected experiences. the economy changes, all these things, and many, many things that are certainly out of our control. So using meditation as a way to stay calm, to stay centered, is critical just across the board. And then for me, especially for my book writing coaching and how I help people write high quality books in a short amount of time, and how I help them use their understanding of their ideal clients to really focus in on the book. Sometimes, maybe more than sometimes, writing a book will stir the pot. It will bring up fear or shame or imposter syndrome or self-judgment or any great number of emotions and experiences. And you didn't ask for them to come up, right? And you don't want to let them stop you because you want to get the book done. So that idea of meditating, smiling, and relaxing and not getting involved, or practicing not getting involved in the experience, the unpleasant experience, lets you get back to the book and lets you get back to creating something that is a gift for you as the author, and also a powerful and profound gift, ultimately, for the people that you serve.
I find it so beautiful when you talk about staying centered, because I have a visual image of things coming in, and one can't control what comes in, but you can control the way you receive them.
Yeah, beautifully said.
Ben, for listeners who are curious about your Influence with a Heart method, which elements does it include?
Thank you. So first and foremost, it's the intention behind whatever you're doing, your business, the people that you're serving, how you help them. That's a tremendous part of it. And then staying in integrity in your actions, in your words, in your pricing, right, in your partnerships, in the people you choose to collaborate with. That's a big part of it too. And then when we get more into the specific tactics, you know, I will teach my clients how to have conversations with their ideal clients so they can get a very, very clear lens on what to actually include in the book, right? Because so many people's books don't work, which is a shame. And I want to come from the perspective of how can we guarantee that the book is going to work, right? You know, because it's going to be such an investment of heart and energy and intention and all those kinds of things. So you don't want to take a guess. So for me, it's have conversations with your ideal clients in a specific methodical way to get a set of data. Then you have a very clear lens for the book. You know which stories to choose. You know what information to include and not include. You get the language for the book as well, which is really important because you're speaking with your ideal clients. And through these conversations, you're developing or deepening relationships with these people so they can in the future become a client or a strategic partner. And the last part of it is that it's a beautiful way to remember and practice that no matter what we do in business, strategically, tactically, you know, social media, marketing, public relations, advertising, all these kinds of things, sooner or later, it's still going to come down to a human relationship and somebody saying yes to us, to work with us, to have their business or life changed by us. So for me, by having these conversations about the book, we get to the point of the relationship much, much faster, which I find to be much more strategic and effective, because I would rather develop relationships with five people and make $100,000 rather than trying to sell 90,000 books to make $100,000, right? The first path is so much easier, so much more effective, and for me, so much more enjoyable.
Yes, I've got a few questions. How do you manage, or how do you help clients manage to write their books in a very short time? Because you haven't spoken about it yet.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So a big part of it is the conversations about the book that I was just describing, because that gives all of that focus to the content and the stories and things like that. And then I'll have the author take that information and that clarity and use a specific writing process, right, to be able to communicate their ideas clearly, section by section through the book. So literally to bullet point key elements for each aspect of what they want to talk about. I also give my authors a blueprint, an actual outline of the book to follow, right? So I say to them, I don't want you thinking about the logistics of the book. I would rather you think about the content and the people that you're serving and leave the logistics up to me, right? So if they have this outline for the book, they can take the ideas, the bullet points that I was just describing, and start putting the bullet points into the outline so they can get a beautiful bird's eye view of the book and the trajectory of the information. And then from there, authentic voice is super, super important, right? And a lot of people, this is where AI can be really dangerous in book writing because people will often rely on AI. Yeah, I have my authors do dictation as part of the writing process, right? First and foremost, because when you speak, you're not stopping to go, oh, is that the right word? And is this the right punctuation? You know, you're sharing your expertise and your passion. So being able to just speak the words for sections of your book or parts of an idea that you want to get moving, that's one benefit. And then the other benefit is literally the speed, because within 4 minutes, when you know what you're talking about, you can speak 600 words, and 600 words is 2.5% of a 25,000 word book. In other words, about a 150 page book. So all sorts of ways, when you put all those things together, my authors can get their books done in between 5 and 13 weeks. And when I say done, let me clarify, a first draft in 5 to 13 weeks. And then we go into editing and publishing from there.
And Ben, you also help people leverage their books even before it's published.
Yep, that is correct. So there are a couple ways to do that. And this, at the risk of repeating myself, first and foremost, are those conversations about the book, right? Because my authors are speaking to their ideal clients about the book that's coming, you know, in their future. So they are immediately positioned as an author, even though they haven't written the book yet. And then they ask this series of questions. And one of the questions invites the person that they're speaking with into a further engagement, a deepening of the relationships. It's not suddenly a sales call, but there's an invitation that, for example, if the author is going to do a workshop in the future, after they ask all the questions about the book, they'll say, by the way, if I decide to do this workshop, you know, around this, the topic of the book, is this something that you'd be interested in, or is this something that would support people in your organization? Right. So it's a great way to bridge into possibility and deepen the relationship. And several of my clients have gotten amazing results from doing that. Coaching clients. Somebody got a 5-figure speaking fee. Somebody got a 6-figure consulting fee, all from having these conversations before the book is finished. So that's one of the big ones right there for leveraging the book before it's done. Another one is simply to tell people that you're the author of a forthcoming book, right? Start updating your LinkedIn and your website to say that, even if you don't know the title yet, because people will perceive you differently. And then the third one, which I absolutely love, and this actually led to me getting a 10-month consulting contract with a Fortune 100 company. As I was writing my second book, I had the book cover designed, and I put it up on LinkedIn and I said, hooray, I'm so excited to announce my second book. It'll be published in about 2 months. And somebody reached out to me because they saw the book cover and they said, hey, we saw the cover of your book. We are developing a mindfulness and empathy video game with a Fortune 100 company. in conjunction with MIT in the United States. It's going to be played by 20,000 customer experience employees, and we'd like to talk to you about writing the curriculum. And I said, of course I'll write the curriculum. And I had never written a curriculum before specifically, but something about my book cover, title and subtitle of the book, appealed to what they needed at that point. And of course, you know, I had to meet with them several times and we had to develop a relationship. But over the next couple of months, we were able to sign a contract. And that experience was a big part of why I developed my business to help people write and leverage their books.
Yes, and you do that while they enjoy your support.
Yes, exactly.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can express your love for your partner, leave a legacy to your children or grandchildren, honor your mum or dad or a mentor. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Could you please tell us about the books you've written?
Sure, thank you. So far, there are four of them. First one was Marketing with a Heart. I can't really remember the subtitle because it's not right in front of me and it was 10 years ago. But it was essentially using marketing to serve people, to help create and cultivate business, but to do it from a place of integrity, not persuasion, not manipulation, but true and pure influence. So that was the first book. Second book was Influence with a Heart, and it was how to be a better thought leader and communicator, or how to be a better leader by using more empathy, story, and thought leadership. That was number two. Number three was the Influence with a Heart method, how to position yourself as an expert, authority, or thought leader by writing your book so you can do more good for more people with your business. And then book number four, which actually just came out this year, and I co-wrote with a colleague of mine, was called The Influencer's Formula. How to create a global thought leadership masterpiece with a podcast, book, or TV talk show.
And Ben, if someone wants to approach you to write, say, a book, and they're not quite clear what it should be on. Could you help them with that?
I certainly could. What I do with folks is I do a 2-hour mapping session where we're looking at the content of the book as well as the content in the ecosystem of their business, what they want to do with the book, who their audience is, who their ideal client is. And then from there, we can zero in on the topic of the book, and I can help the author or the author-to-be understand their best options for marketing, publishing, leveraging their book, all those kinds of things. And if I'm not the person to help that author, I will absolutely let them know, and I will make recommendations to get them to the right place.
Thank you. Where can listeners contact you or learn more about the work you do?
Thank you. So a couple of places, influencewithaheart.com. Once again, influencewithaheart.com is my website, so you can find me there, and there's a contact or a connect section where you can book a call with me or reach out to me. You can also find me on LinkedIn and connect with me on LinkedIn. And my last name is spelled G-I-O-I-A. Once again, G-I-O-I-A. So always happy to connect and support people really wherever they are, because I think gifts are one of the greatest things that any of us can experience and a great way to serve our people. And if I can help bring more good books into the world, it's really my honor and pleasure, and it's a lot of fun for me to do.
Thank you, Ben. Before I let you go, may I ask you a fun question?
Yes, please.
Okay, we're going to the realm of the imagination, so you needn't be practical.
Okay.
Here's my question. If you could create a work of art in any medium titled Gratitude, what would it look like?
Oh, my goodness. I absolutely love that. And I'd like to make it in all media. but most specifically, I would like to do it as a hip hop song.
Oh,
yeah, because I have a deep and abiding love of poetry. And I studied poetry in university, studied and wrote poetry. And it's such a magical way to bring words forth. And I have no capability as a, you know, hip hop coming from my mouth, but it's an art form that blows my mind. And I think it's so inspiring and so galvanizing for so many people. And there's just a whole, you know, when Mariette, I know you've had this experience, right? When you see somebody who's excellent at what they're doing, how inspiring it is. You know, even if you have no idea what they're doing or how they do it, I feel that way about many hip hop artists. And it would really be a pleasure to bridge that at some point in my life.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I wish I could see that happen.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ben, for sharing something of your journey and for communicating what is so important to you, and that is coming from the heart. And also, thank you for the wonderful energy you've brought to our conversation.
Oh, thank you, Mariette. It's such a pleasure to be here with you, and you know, to know you over these years and to know the wonderful work that you do. So thank you so much. It's really an honor.
Thank you. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series where you download your podcasts. And if you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me, with original music by Mart Marie Snyman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.